Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. We teased it. Now we're going to please it.
Sorry. I didn't like that.
You, that's way creepier than that should have been.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, he's from Alameda, baby. She's from Alameda.
That's how we deal with an awkward transition it's around here. That's just all the facts of the world. All right, it is time for a little segment we like to call Mike and Mike. A couple of Mike stories for you. And let's start first with Mike number one, Mike Tyson, who, let's face it, for a dude that's been convicted of sexual assault, he's really warmed his way into our hearts on some level. And it's really bizarre.
Oh, yeah, he's swell.
Right, that's the thing. But he had the cameo on The Hangover, and he's got his show on the Cartoon Network.
Oh, I haven't seen Mike Tyson Mysteries, but people love it. I did see his Broadway or off-Broadway show here when it was here, and it was fascinating and pretty good. He is self-aware. He seems to have gotten a much better handle on his life, for whatever that's worth. And, yeah, he's a sort of an endearing character in some ways.
A sympathetic character, I think, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen Mike Tyson, you know, grow up before our eyes, basically.
Yeah. But he's also
fall from grace.
He's done some horrible things.
He's been definitely been convicted of some horrible things. And I guess we'll never really know what happened, but a court of law and a jury of his peers said that he did something pretty awful, and I never want to lose sight of that. But at the same time, there's something about him that makes me root for him, because I know that there were so many people in his life that preyed upon him as a young man, parasites, literally, trying to get a piece from him, and for him to come out the other side with, I don't know, the perspective that he does. And again, I never lose sight of what he was convicted for. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm, you know, a huge Mike Tyson fan, but I don't know, man. I'm also human. So, but according to Mike Tyson, he said he smokes $40,000 worth of weed a month. Now, Kolsky, you and I were kicking this around before the show, and I don't smoke pot anymore, but I know what pot costs, okay? And I'll tell you,
I don't use the stuff, but I'm really good at the arbitrage end.
I never inhaled, Ray Ratto. No, I for sure did, but
I didn't yet today, and I can tell you that $40,000 worth of weed is too much for a month.
Yeah.
No matter how good that weed is, and if you're buying it by the ton from a ranch, it's not going to be that expensive. It's just that he has to be supporting so many aggressive weed smoking habits for so many different people. That's the only explanation for this.
Yeah, the crew.
Or he has 11 lungs.
Yeah. Human lungs can't smoke $40,000 worth. Or he's not just getting ripped off, but getting ripped off to an impossible-to-believe degree. Just like some quick math for the sake of argument. If he's spending $200 on an ounce of marijuana at this bulk level, he's already getting ripped off pretty good.
Getting fleeced.
Pretty good. And it seems almost impossible for a single human to smoke an ounce a day, but let's just say he could do that because he's one of the great weed smokers of all time, and he may very well be.
All-star.
Okay. Even in that scenario, he would have to smoke more than five times that much to get to 40. So we're talking about he's either being charged 5 or 10 times the appropriate amount for marijuana, or he's supporting 5 to 10 other marijuana smokers.
Probably,
it's one of the two.
Probably
no,
more like
no. There's a third possibility.
It's a lie.
He's lying through his teeth.
Yeah, that's also very possible.
I mean, it's
My favorite part of the story, though, is what Albie wrote on the rundown.
It's a healthy habit.
Is this 888-957-9570, $40,000 worth of weed a month. Is this a healthy habit?
Is this a good thing?
Sorry, I had to.
Yeah, thanks, Albie.
By the way, someone did the math, and apparently it comes out to 37 joints a day.
That's incorrect.
Yeah, and how...
Is it?
Well, I guess if you're buying it in pre-rolled, that could kind of explain the money, is if he's buying pre-rolled $40,000 worth of pre-rolled joints.
But he just said he's buying it from a weed ranch. Like,
well, he could still buy 10 tons worth of pre-rolled joints. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
See, what's your job? I just sit around and I roll Mike Tyson's joints all day. That's a hell of a job.
Yo, Mike.
Yeah, go ask the lady with no tongue. She's the one who's... in charge of that.
I can get 37 joints done in a couple of hours, no problem. Dude, so I'll do that mornings before I come to work if the job is available.
Dude, I'll roll you a Marlboro Red.
I just hear
quality.
Your wife like recoiling in like levels of horror.
Oh, no. If I'm going to get paid to roll Mike Tyson's joints, my wife is going to dance. That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, because she gets to spin the who's my next husband wheel. Uh-huh.
Well, and I think my mom would even be in on that. Hey, Mom, I got a great side gig.
Yeah.
You know, I got my side hustle on. I roll Mike Tyson's chops now, and he's paying me about 2 G's a week.
I mean, if it's 40, I'll also get you a better deal on the weed.
No doubt.
20,000 all in for me to roll your joints and all the weed.
So you're going to save 20K off top.
And by the way, the first thing I'm doing with that 20K a month is putting 10 in my pocket because I do not need it to get that much weed.
100%.
So this is a great business opportunity for Ryan and I think is where we've settled.
Albie, can you book Mike Tyson for tomorrow? We'd really like to talk to him for a few minutes about this and see if maybe we can help him out and maybe spread out our hustle a little bit, make a little
I'm
cash on the
side. I'm just saying.
Just thinking out loud.
Right. I'm prepared to produce samples. I'm prepared to show you what I can do, Mike Tyson.
I'm just saying volunteering to cheat Mike Tyson is probably a low percentage.
I was
move.
Not.
No,
I just cut his expenses in half, right?
Yeah, we're helping him. We're part of the solution. We're
yeah,
not
but
the
you
parasite.
Said you were going to skim some off the
not
top.
Not skim. It's not skimming. I'm giving you a better deal on marijuana acquisition. It just so happens that half of the money you're spending on me is going to me.
How about this 661? Why is it surprising the heaviest hitter in boxing history is obviously also the heaviest hitter of the green? When has Mike Tyson ever lied about anything ever before? Well, I'm not touching that one. But
No, I mean, this is nonsense. It's utter nonsense because no one can do this.
Yeah. Mike Tyson's mystery knows
great. I mean,
Pablo
Escobar could not get enough friends to do this.
A 347 texter also points out Mike works in the industry.
Yeah, doesn't he? Like, yeah. Well, actually, let's go to Joe in San Jose. He wants to talk about Mike Tyson's marijuana ranch. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I was going to say, because I follow Mike Tyson on Instagram, and I follow his ranch. It's called Tyson Ranch Official on Instagram, and I think he's over-exaggerating. I mean, yeah, they show him smoking pot a lot on there, but he probably makes that, like, invests like, $40,000 a month in his ranch.
I just thought of something.
Thanks, Joe.
Maybe what he's actually saying is the amount of weed he smokes off of his ranch on a daily basis equates to $40,000 worth of retail sales.
Okay.
Of, like, joints in a store where the price is marked way the heck up per amount.
Like, Mike Tyson doesn't work in accounting.
I know. Hey, hold
this
on, hold
doesn't
on.
Equate for me.
Hold on. We got to move on. By the way, 405 says, okay, kids, break time is over. Get back to work. Now, this is a Mike and Mike segment. There's a second half.
There's second
another
Mike.
More
Mike.
I should have led with the first Mike because this second Mike was obviously a compelling topic. How about this? Mike Trout bought a $9.15 million mansion. Of course, he signed that 12-year, $426.5 million. I love it's 426.5. Got to get that extra $500K in there.
If this was a game of telephone, the result would be Mike Trout spent $9 million on weed?
Right. No doubt. Well, he plunked down $9.15 million on an English Tudor-style mansion down in Newport Beach. The basement alone in the 9,000-square-foot property is a full wine bar, a wine cellar, and a sauna. He's got 4-bedroom suites plus a wet bar. It's got views of the Pacific. He's got
the Atlantic.
He's got great call. Yeah, the Indian Sea. He's got company-occupied great areas with a pool, spa, a covered lanai. What the hell's a lanai? L-A-N-I-E. and a built-in barbecue.
L-A-N-A-I, it should
yeah,
be.
That's L-A-N-A-I. It is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I even misspell it? What the hell's a lanai?
I'm imagining it's like a little hut.
Okay. Like a little foyer. No, that's the
no. No, in this case, it would be large.
More of a chuppah, if you will.
Well, fair enough. How about this though? Let me ask you guys this: your dream house can have one thing in it. What are you choosing? You can have anything. Money's no object. You're Mike Trout. Lena, what do you got?
I want a bathroom with a giant hot tub bathtub overlooking something nice, like a decked out bathroom to just like hot tub in your own house.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Steph Curry got me, by the way.
I have
guys.
Almost the same thing. It's just mine's outdoor. A nice big, like a hot tub, the size and style of the Playboy Grotto pool.
Ooh,
that's what I want.
I like that.
Gigantic, comfortable, ornate hot tub scenario. That's all I really need.
I want like what Steph Curry had in his house in Stephen vs. the Game, the sweet golf simulator in-house. Just let me get some shots off.
Why do you want to torture yourself at your home?
No, dude, get my dial in my game so tight. I'll be better than Butcher Boy in no time flat. Ray, last word on this. We got about 30 seconds. What are you putting in your house? A meat grinder?
What?
I don't know.
I'm buying a mansion so that I can become an amateur butcher.
I don't know.
A text line says that a lanai is a Hawaiian word for like a balcony or a deck.
Sounds lovely.
Well, it's also like a deck with a roof over it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Usually it's thatched.
What are you putting in, Ray?
I'm picturing like a grass roof.
Fair enough. I'm really curious about this because we got to go in a second. What are you putting in your dream house, Ray? One thing. What do you got?
My dream house, everybody I know, and I go buy something else.
Oh, yeah, he's from Alameda, baby. He's from Alameda.
As far as the $9.15 million price tag, what's the thing? You're supposed to spend like 30% of your salary on rent. I think he's clear.
He's good.
$426.5 million for
12
years.
I don't know what the tax advantages are of just buying a house with cash.
There's got to be some.
Well, I don't know if there are or not. I'm not a tax lawyer, but I'm going to guess if it was advantageous, he'd have just here's
a suitcase.
All right. Hey, we got to go. By the way, Giants A's just went final. Giants comeback attempt came up a little short. Tyler Beattie got rocked. Plus, get in line right now. 888-957-9570. We got the name game coming up, and we've got a sweet prize for you today. It's concert tickets. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. But you got to get in line. 888-957-9570. It's probably Mike Tyson related. So get in line. We're going to play the name game coming up. Then we'll get into some A's Giants talk. Keep it right here. Name game coming up next. It's going to be lit.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, welcome on back. 4:18. On a Wednesday. Hey, it's almost 4:20. Mike Tyson's smoking $40,000 worth of weed. Or at least a little bit of it.
Happy 4:20 to Mike Tyson.
Good times.
Although, if you're smoking that much, 4:20 is meaningless to you, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's just another minute of the day.
Yeah, you probably smoked at 4:20, but it was a coincidence.
Yeah, smoked at 4:19, exactly. Smoked at 4:22.
Exactly.
All right, we are going to play the name game right now. You know what it is. There is a person in the world of sports that has two first names.
It's not Damon Bruce. It's not Chris Paul. Those are the only two hints you get.
That's where we'll start. And by the way, you want to line up at 888-957-9570 because today we've got a pair of tickets to Kings of the West. So it's your chance to win some tickets to Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, The Game, and more down at the Shark Tank SAP Center on Saturday, September 14th. You can also find more information at Ticketmaster.com. So line them up right now, 888-957-9570. Play the name game. Guess a dude with two first names, and you can win a tickets to Kings of the West. Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube. I'm sorry?
Dude or gal.
Dude, yeah, I'm tripping. You're right, Elena, and I sincerely apologize for that.
So what you're saying is it's 4:20. We just talked about Mike Tyson's weed smoking habits, and now we're giving people an opportunity to win Snoop Dogg tickets?
I'm telling you. We're on it.
Who planned this show?
Albie.
Yay, yay.
Thank you. 888-957-9570. We will start the name game. We got a few people on hold. I want to get a couple more people. We want to fill up the lines, and they're filling up now. And we appreciate everybody for checking in. So we're going to start in just a hot second. Just quickly, Ray, did we get an answer on what you want in your house? You just want to have a nice place for everybody to come, and then you're going to leave, right?
Yes.
Is that what you decided?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found that the best place for me to be when there's ever a gathering is somewhere else.
Ray, I want to be your friend. I want to get to know you more. I do. We've known each other for
years.
Well,
let me see if I can explain this to you in a way that you'll understand.
I want to be on you.
That's nothing. There's nothing I want less than to have somebody get close to me.
All right. I'll be at Faction Brewery in Alameda tomorrow night for my sister's birthday.
Well, drink up.
But maybe you could come join us. Cause
I could, but then that would mean joining you, and that's just not an option.
Oh, yeah, he's from Alameda, baby. He's from Alameda.
Yeah. Come on, Faction, baby. All right. Oh, we got an opening for the name game? Well, open me up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
The Name Game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
It's Ryan Covey. It's not David Bruce, but you already
only
know
got
that.
One first name.
Yeah. Rain.
I've been lied to.
Rain. All right. Two first names. It is the name game. And basically the way this works is you ask a question. We will answer yes or no. If you get the question right, then we will let you continue to ask questions until you fail and you get it wrong. And then we drop you unceremoniously and we move on to the next caller. And it's a chance to win a pair of tickets to Kings of the West. All right. Let's start with old Daryl in San Mateo. This is my brother Daryl. My other brother Daryl. Remember that Newhart show? Shout out Daryl. What's up, Daryl? All right. You're playing the name game. Start asking questions.
All right. Is this person a current player in the NFL or NBA?
No.
Does
Daryl.
He get to do that? Can he go double?
No.
So well, since he was wrong twice, I guess we allow
him. Oh, I was only going to give people the one answer, but I guess he cheated and still wins.
I was going to give a little wiggle room there, but you're right. Technically, no. So we've established that it's not a current player in the NFL or the NBA. Buddy in Brentwood, you're the next contestant on the name game. What's your question?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Doing great.
Is it a male or female?
It's a male. Oh, wait, no, you have to make a definitive statement. Correct, yeah. So we'll let you ask one more, but right now you're teetering, okay?
Yes
so,
or you're the no one who screwed questions. Up. Why is
yes
he teetering?
Or no yes
or no
questions. He did screw up first.
I screwed up?
No, he did.
Yeah. The obvious, our nice lady friend, Mary Jane, just to stick with the topic, but seeming as that will not work, is it a player in the NFL?
No. Thanks for playing, buddy. And I feel like we
feel
literally
like that was the
just
first
established
question.
That. Apparently, buddy was smoking Mary Jane. All right, that means the line's open for the name game and a chance to win some tickets to Kings of the West. All right, T-Roy, help me out here in San Francisco. It's not a player in the NFL. We've established that it is a male. So there's your baseline. Can you ask a legitimate question here for the name game, for the sanctity of the game?
Did y'all talk about this person today?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Mike Tyson.
No.
It's a great guess.
That's a phenomenal guess. But T-Roy, I'm so sorry. That's not it. Man, that's not bad, though. Yeah. I think that would have been too easy, though.
Have you guys ever done Mike Tyson in the future name game? Mike Tyson? Huh?
Wow.
All right.
That's a pretty good one. All
okay.
right. 888-957-9570. We've talked about him today. It's not a player in the NFL, and it is a male. John, 101.
Yes.
Yes.
Peter Jeanette.
No. Man,
no,
you just
he
went right for the gold. You went right for
I don't
it.
Need
and
no,
Jeanette.
I don't need no stinking questions.
Right. And do we mention Scooter Jeanette?
Not that I recall.
Yeah. He might
and is Jeanette a first name?
Yeah. I mean.
No.
So there's a lot going on
A lot
there.
Of problems with the Scooter Jeanette guess.
All right. Renee in Oakland, you're up next on the name game.
Is it someone that smokes that Mary J?
I can't say definitively,
don't know
but
for
possibly.
Sure.
Is there someone in the entertainment industry?
Technically.
Yeah, I think we got to say technically
yeah,
yes.
Technically yes.
Willie Nelson.
No, but that's... I think we've been derailed a little bit. I think a lot of people are thinking, you know,
yeah,
pot smoker.
Sports entertainment.
Yeah,
sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment.
Industry.
Like, this is a sports talk show.
Yes.
All right, 888-957-9570.
The beginning of the game, when we read the instructions, it goes like this. Just to remind people,
Thank
it goes
you,
like this. We're looking for an athlete with two first names.
Or former athlete.
Okay. Yeah, but an at-one-time athlete, which does not necessarily apply to Willie Nelson.
You went three syllables.
Yeah,
athlete.
I'm trying to be as clear as possible for people.
Okay.
Not in the NFL. Yes, a male. And I think that's as far as we've gotten so far.
Arnold Sunnyvale, please ask a legitimate question.
Is this person on a current roster in the MLB?
No.
Thank you for playing.
See, but now Arnold may not have gotten it right, but he moved the game along for everyone else.
And we appreciate that. So now we've established as a baseline, not a current player on a Major League Baseball roster, okay? Aaron and Fremont.
Is it a retired MLB player?
No.
No, it is not. Yeah, you know what? Is it time to give a hint?
No.
No? Cool. No. No, no, it is not. All right. And we, by the way, we've got tickets to Kings of the West, Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube. We got a great prize for you today.
Shouts to the text liner who pointed out that Jeanette, as a lady, is a first name.
Great
not
call.
Spelled like his last name,
sure.
But Jeanette. So apologies to the caller who I mocked.
A girl named Jeanette cheated on me one time.
Wow. Terrible name.
She was a terrible name. She's a terrible person. Scott in Pleasanton. Scott, you're next on the name game. Freaking Jeanette.
Is it a current MMA fighter?
No.
No.
Man, that's just out of nowhere.
Sure is.
I mean, I think we should maybe start a little broader here.
Someone
right?
on the text line got it already, so.
Wow.
I say people gotta figure it out.
All right. We've talked about this person today. It's not an MMA fighter, not a current Major League Baseball player. It is a current or former athlete.
Current or former athlete, and also not in the NFL.
And not Mike Tyson.
Neither.
Or Scooter
neither
Jeanette.
Mike Tyson nor Scooter Jeanette.
Either the one for the Giants or the girl that cheated on me. Roberto, Highway. Oh, no. Let's go. Teresa. Sorry. Teresa in Richmond. You're up next. Teresa. What's your question?
Hi.
Is
it Darrell Williams? Darrell Owens, sorry.
It is not Terrell Owens.
Nor is it Tyrell Williams. I'll give you that one for free since, you know, they're both NFL people and we've already established
that it's not an NFL person. All right, let's see. It's not a Major League Baseball person and it's not an NFL person. Let me put my thinking cap on for a second before I ask my next question. Okay, just chew on that for a moment. And now we go to Roberto on Highway 4. Roberto on Highway 4, being confident in the knowledge that it's not an NFL person or a Major League Baseball person, would you care to ask your question with that in mind?
Is it a retired NBA player?
It is.
Michael Jordan?
No.
Not
I like that. But, hey, we've established a really critical piece of the puzzle
Correct.
Right here. A retired NBA player that we have talked about on this show today. Joe in San Jose, I have led you down the primrose path, my friend. Now it's time for you to deliver. Joe in San Jose, what's your question?
Was he a California NBA player?
He was.
Yes, he was.
Did he play for the Lakers?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Can't be Matt Barnes, huh?
No. No, that was... I'm sorry. Yep. That was it. You said Matt Barnes, and it's not.
I was sure he knew who it
I know.
Was and
I
was just
he was
playing
like right
with
there.
Us.
So, NBA, former player, played
former
in California.
Laker.
Former Laker. We're so close. Michael and San Rafael, we have literally put it on a tee for you.
Hello. Is it Byron Scott?
No. But that's a pretty solid guess.
That's a great joke. Listen, what was that caller's name? He's already gone. But whatever his name was, if he called knowing that he could win Snoop tickets but decided to make that joke instead, that is the best call of the day.
Shout out. I think he was just trying to get it right.
I choose to believe the other.
All right, Stephen Newark. It's your time to shine. We've given you a lot of information. You can win some tickets to Kings of the West if you can get right the question of the name game. Who are we talking about? What's your question?
Did he used to coach the Warriors?
No.
Oh, man.
I thought it was Don.
Yeah, he laid it on the turf. I thought he was going to F-bomb it. He's like, damn.
No, I thought it was Don Nelson.
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Jerry in Los Gatos in the cat. What's your question?
Hello.
Yeah, what's up, Jerry? What's your question?
Did he accept an assistant coaching position today?
Wow. You are right. You're right there, my friend. Yes, he did.
Is it Tyronn Lue?
Hey! Booyah! Hey! Hey! That a babe! Nice job, Jerry in Los Gatos. You are the winner, Tyronn Lue. Two first names.
Yeah. Totally works. You know why I like the text line, Ray? I know you don't like the text line. Here's why I do. Because a few seconds ago, someone texted the name Smush Parker to us.
That's pretty good.
And I would not have had any Smush Parker in my life today if not for our text line. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Keep them coming.
No doubt. Jerry in Los Gatos, we salute you today. Antonio Brown wants to wish you a happy anniversary also.
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear it's your second anniversary wedding. I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here. Happy birthday. We celebrate you today. Hope your birthday is booming.
I just wanted to get to him saying we celebrate you today, Jerry in Los Gatos. You are headed to Kings of the West. You got a pair of tickets starring Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, The Game, and more at SAP Center Saturday, September 14th. Of course, you can get more information to this kick-ass show at Ticketmaster.com.
Joe in San Jose just texted in. He says he's beating himself up after that.
Poor Joe. Joe, hang in there, my man.
It was my favorite moment of the show, quite honestly. Byron Scott, tremendous.
That was pretty good. But you can still get some tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And we thank everybody for playing the name game. All right. Well, that was fun.
I love the name game.
The name game's pretty badass.
I truly love
it. As a regular listener of this show, as I'm driving in to come to the Butcher Shop weeknight 6 to 10, Joe Shasky, Ryan Covey,
I've heard of it. Tight.
Yeah, we're dope.
Yeah.
I listen to the show quite regularly. And so I've heard the name game before, and I do enjoy it. And to be a part of it on this side,
it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. So shout out Damon Bruce. Have another kid, man, so I can come in and play the name game some more.
You know what? I'm just going to represent Jillian here. Take your time.
Yeah, let's do a little recouping, right? A little recouping.
Let's recover.
That's fine.
Oh.
Wow.
Hello.
All right, by the way, the San Francisco Giants were not able to complete the sweep today.
Two-game series.
Two-game set.
Shove it.
No, they call it a two-game set.
It's not a set. It's nothing. It's a pair. It's
yeah, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because in poker, a set is three. It's a pocket pair and one more on the board. That's a set. So I'm glad that you made that differentiation.
I'm glad I did as well.
Thank you, Matt Kolsky. Were you aware of that?
No.
You ever flopped a set?
I have
not.
A
good feeling in poker.
Flopping a set sounds like a totally different thing.
Yeah, you can get burned, but you're getting your money, and if you flop a set, I'm telling you, that's happening.
We've already said flop a set too many times for my comfort. I don't know.
Ray, you ever flopped a set? Make this uncomfortable as
in
possible
a poker,
for Matt.
In a poker analogy? Yes, I have.
There you go.
I've played poker before.
What if you seem like you'd be a good poker player, Ray.
I don't know.
He's got
haven't played enough to be able to establish that.
Now,
I haven't played enough to make enough money so that I wouldn't have to do this for a living either. So.
Hear, hear.
If just now when you said in a poker sense, Ryan had said no, what would your response have been?
That's a great question.
Oh, I would have thrown up on the rug.
That's a terrific question. All right.
No, not in a poker sense. Just
in general.
Just generally.
Ray out there flopping sets.
It just sounds like a very...
It's nauseating. It's just cut to the chase.
All right. By the way, cutting to the chase, Tyler Beattie got cuffed up again today. Four innings, eight hits, four earned runs. Did have five strikeouts. There's that stuff.
Great stuff.
He's got great stuff, though. Gave up a home run to Matt Chapman. Chapman actually went deep twice today. The Giants tried to mount a little comeback. It was 7-0 A's. Heading into the bottom of the eighth, and the Giants staged a five-run rally in the eighth. But unfortunately came up a little short. Yaz ended up hitting a three-run bomb. And Dickerson back in the lineup today. Yaz and Dix doing work.
How was Dickerson today?
Let's see here.
I was busy during the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, Dickerson just pinch hit. He grounded out, had an RBI ground out. They had a couple of runners on. He had a chance, actually, if he would have gotten a hit to extend that rally.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
here's the thing. There are some... victories isn't the right word. They've accomplished some things this year. One of the things is Yaz. This is about as good a rookie year as you can have. He looks like a real Major League Baseball player. And at least one organization didn't think that was true. So that's a win for me, for Farhan Zaidi. You also have some distinct losses. And to me, maybe the biggest one...
Brandon Belt.
No, because look, raise your hand if you thought Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, if you thought any of those guys were going to have their best season this season. There are no hands raised for those of you not in the room with us.
We'll take you behind the glass. Yeah. No hands up.
Nobody thought that. So, yeah,
except
maybe...
Albie.
Even Albie would not think that. And so maybe those guys have been disappointing to some. I think they're more or less what I expected. The thing that jumps out at me is when I watch Tyler Beattie and Sean Anderson, nothing is more concrete proof of we got nothing in our farm system. Nothing from a pitching perspective that's close to ready. Because if there was any guy who was close to ready, I'd have seen him today.
You're absolutely
right. Because I don't need to see more Tyler Beattie right now. And the fact that he's 26 years old and he has basically been this in his two stints at the major leagues and not as dominant as you would hope in the minor leagues, I don't know how much more Tyler Beattie I'm excited to see ever.
I don't know how much more Tyler Beattie Bruce Bochy wants to see right now.
That's what I'm saying. And if they had other options, I have to believe we'd be seeing them.
Yeah, Sean Jelly, peanut butter jelly time. I don't think he's ready
peanut
yet.
Peanut butter jelly time.
No, Where are they at? Where are they
but
at?
But that's been the story all year. I mean,
yeah. That's what I'm saying.
If they had these young guys on the cusp of viewing, you'd have viewed them.
Exactly.
So that's why I said this has taken 3 years. So
buckle up.
Stop looking at the day-to-day results.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that
it's
to
kind
me,
of the job, right?
No, it's not. It's not part of the job.
Beattie and Anderson that are the most concrete proof that this is probably another 2 or 3 years worth of building to do because, again, that we just would have seen. If there was more, we'd see it now.
Fair enough. And so let me ask you this because we know that Samardzija's been having his best stretch as a Giant. We know that Johnny Cueto's return, it sounds like, is imminent, okay, barring a setback. And we know that Madison Bumgarner has put together his last 10 starts, a very solid stretch of pitching. From that perspective, do you think that the Giants need to aggressively pursue re-signing Madison Bumgarner if they want to make sure that their pitching staff is anything more than a complete debacle? That's debacle next
yes.
year.
I think they've already made that pretty clear.
That they're going to re-sign Bumgarner or at least attempt to?
I mean, they would have dumped him for even less than they got offered if they wanted to get rid of him.
So you think the plan for Farhan is to re-sign Madison Bumgarner right now, if possible?
That's part of the plan.
Okay.
But, I mean, you have to judge people not on their words but on their actions.
Well, I think there's two things here. One, I totally agree with Ray, that the fact that he wasn't traded, whatever. I mean, somebody offered something, right? Might have been a bag of balls, but
we don't know that that's true at all.
Okay.
I mean,
I believe strongly that somebody offered something. I suppose we could debate it. It doesn't seem worthwhile.
Somebody offered something.
I strongly believe somebody offered, at the very least, a bag of baseballs in exchange for Madison Bumgarner. And in my view, if you're Farhan Zaidi and you know I don't want to resign this guy, you take the bag of baseballs because it's otherwise he's leaving. And if you don't want him back, what does it matter?
But because you were in a wild card race, were you willing to take?
I think he knows better than that.
But
I do.
The numbers tell you that you were in a wild card race. Technically, you
still are
in a wild card race.
But that doesn't get you anywhere if you're Farhan Zaidi. Not really. He's going to be judged on how this team does in 2, 3, 4 years and continuing from there. Whether or not they made and likely lost the wild card game this year ultimately has no bearing on how people view Farhan Zaidi as a general manager. If you could have gotten something that eventually became worthwhile for Madison Bumgarner, that's more likely. Even if people were upset about the wild card thing, you're much more likely to improve your legacy by getting something for Bumgarner. I say all this just to say, if you were positive, I don't want this guy back on my team next year, I think you take what you can get for him. I also think what you said is true, though. And if we're looking forward with this team, what you said is probably more relevant because they don't have enough pitching. If we don't think Anderson or Beattie are going to be parts of this rotation next year, or you don't want them to be, not only do you need Bumgarner back, you need a couple more guys.
Right, so you might as well keep the dude that you know can do the job.
Literally the only person in your building, in your entire organization, who has a chance to be a top-line starter next year, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Cueto, I guess we'll see.
Right.
But Samardzija is not going to be a top-line starter. Beattie and Anderson are not going to be top-line starters. None of the other young guys I've seen over the last 2 years, many of whom have been moved on from the organization now, none of them have a chance. So it's Madison Bumgarner or you have zero good starters on your team.
Well, and if you think about Farhan's philosophy, I mean, I know that they paid to re-sign Clayton Kershaw, but that makes sense on a lot of different levels. But as far as just going out and throwing money at a problem in free agency for, whatever, I don't even know what top, what would be considered top flight starters are going to be on the market this summer anyway, or this winter, excuse me. So I don't
now is probably not the time you add an expensive starter from outside the organization.
Correct, but you're going to need somebody to eat up some damn innings is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be, like, if, in other words, the guys you would sign from the baseball world are not going to be as good as Madison Bumgarner. Because you're not going to spend that kind of money for a team that you're not really expecting to be over 500.
Right. And by the way, we're going to talk to Alex Pavlovich in just a hot second, Ray, before we get out here in a minute. Final thoughts, Ray?
I mean, I thought we'd established that Bumgarner was, A, not movable. Therefore, the only other thing you can do is make a real run at re-signing him. Because he does not seem like he's reluctant to stay. And his no-trade list was largely of contenders, which is sort of a poison pill in a way that he and his agent put in there to make it harder for the Giants to move him.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there's no
sign that points to them wanting to get rid of him. And the trade deadline was basically all the evidence I needed.
Quick question, Ray. Is it even conceivable to you that they had a deal and Bumgarner vetoed it?
No.
And we never heard about it?
No, we would have heard about it.
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, and I know Alex Pavlovich has been doing some digging on this. Last time we had him on, I asked him about that, and he said, still trying to get answers as far as what was potentially offered for Madison Bumgarner. And speaking of Alex Pavlovich, he will check in from 3rd and King next. Plus, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo threw a 5-pack of interceptions at practice today. Cause for concern? Or just impressed by the 49ers defense. Aha! We'll talk about that. In the meantime, this segment sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
This is the Damon Bruce Show. I'm not Damon Bruce. You already know that by now. I'm Ryan Covey, Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky. Sitting in the room. Damon will be back next week. I'll be hanging out the next couple of days. Been having a great time. A couple guys I've known for a while. Just making sports radio. Just talking.
Just making radio, man.
That's all. That's all we're doing in here. Ain't no problem. All right. Little problem for the Giants today with Homer Bailey, who went 7 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits. They did mount a bit of a rally, scoring 5 runs in the 8th, but came up just a little bit short. We're going to talk to our Giants insider from NBC Sports Bay Area. It is Alex Pavlovich, and of course, he joins us on the Dialpad guest line. Alex, let's talk about Tyler Beede. At what point, you know, we saw some flashes from Beede, but the last handful of starts have been very rough. I feel like, though, this team's out of options when you consider starting pitchers and pulling guys maybe from AAA. What's next for Beede and the Giants?
That's unclear. You know, Bruce Bochy didn't really want to talk about it, which is obvious. You know, he always is going to want to talk to the player first, and so he's going to have a conversation with Tyler, I think, but it was not really a vote of confidence. But still, like you said, there's not a whole lot at the AAA level. I mean, Logan Webb is a guy, he can come up, but he's made one start above AA, and he missed most of the season with a suspension. So you're putting a lot on his shoulders then. Derek Rodriguez will pitch tomorrow. Andrew Suarez is always an option. But really, as these guys try to get through the next 39 games here or 40 games here, and especially try to survive until Johnny Cueto maybe comes back, it's going to have to be one of these young starting pitchers who steps up.
I actually, just because we're on this pitcher topic, and I pulled up the Giants' depth chart per MLB.com, and right now the starting rotation has 3 names in it, and they're Bumgarner, Samardzija, and Beede, and obviously we're just talking about how Beede might not be in there anymore. Cueto coming back seems like it would be much needed and quite nice, but we were just sort of tossing this around looking forward. Who do you expect to be in this rotation next year? I mean, even if they manage to re-sign Bumgarner, which I think a lot of people believe they'll try to do, are they going to, you think they go out and sign 2-3 more veteran pitchers, or is it going to be more of the young guys we've been seeing? Because it sounds like there are not young guys we haven't seen.
Yeah, you know, I look at Farhan's history in Los Angeles, and one thing they always did there, even when they had Walker Buehler coming and Urias coming, they always added veteran pitchers. And they did go a little bit higher end with some guys. I think they had maybe 3 guys who got that same $48 million contract. And they did kind of have some guys who work out and some who didn't. But I fully expect, no matter what happens with Baumgartner, that he will go into this offseason looking to add to the rotation a little bit, because it's hard to do. And it was something that was – it's harder to do during the season than maybe, you know, a guy like Dickerson or Yastrzemski. There's more of those guys out there. But in terms of starting pitching, everybody needs it. But I fully expect this offseason that'll be a big part of it, is building some depth, whether Beedy and Anderson and Connor Menez and Logan Webb, whether these guys are still in the mix or not for rotation spots. I think they're still going to go out there and get a couple veterans, because it's just something they need to do.
On balance, because people keep talking about what Farhan used to do when he was with the Dodgers, albeit, you know, the fact that he was working for Andrew Friedman, how much has he adhered to the things he is credited and blamed with having done in L.A.? Has he been exactly the same kind of general manager, or has he deviated from what he did in L.A. because the circumstances are different?
I don't think we'll really know until after this offseason, because I think he came in so late that it was difficult to really get a full grasp on what he had to do. And obviously, when they went to Los Angeles, it was a different circumstance. I mean, they really took over an organization that was set up pretty well. A lot of these guys were there. The big league roster had a lot of talent. A lot of these guys had been drafted already. And he came here, and it was, you know, he took over a bit of a disaster. And I think we've seen a lot of the same types of moves. I mean, the Dickerson, Yastrzemski, those things are similar to what they did in Los Angeles a little bit with certain guys, with the Max Muncy or Chris Taylor, guys that they felt were talented and just needed an opportunity. And they've done that here a little bit, but I don't think we've really seen anywhere close to his full playbook and how he feels on veteran pitchers, how he feels on spending money, you know, where he spends that money and what he does with younger players. I just think he had to kind of try to get through this season, and that's what they've done. But I expect this offseason to be a very busy one, and we'll have a much better idea. I think the Baumgartner thing especially will show us a lot, because in Los Angeles, those bigger deals were really pushed from ownership, and certainly that will be the case here as well. But he has a lot of power here, and I think we'll learn a lot about how he feels about a roster when we see what he does with Baumgartner.
So while we're talking a little bit about planning for the future, the I would say biggest revelation, all due respect to Alex Dickerson, who I think people realized could do things while healthy but has not been able to stay that way. Mike Yastrzemski was on the trash heap a couple months ago and now looks like a professional outfielder. Do you expect him to be a part of this going forward? Because I feel like that's one of the things people are pointing at and saying, hey, you know what? A lot has gone wrong, but here's a guy we discovered where we might not otherwise have been looking, and this is a positive.
Yeah, he's a real player. I mean, he is, you know, he's a little bit older there for a rookie. He's 28, but the talent is there. And he does so many things well and fields his position well. And he just has good plate appearances, and we see the power. So it's certainly there. I mean, I compare him a little bit, and I know we always go back to the guys that they discovered in Los Angeles. But for me, he's a little bit of the Chris Taylor and somebody mm-hmm. who's probably not going to be like Muncy has turned himself into an all-star and a 30-plus homer guy. I don't know if Yaz will be that guy, but he's just a good player. And you know, a 2 or 3 win player probably when you look at WAR, and that's something they needed. And especially to have that in the outfield and to have it in a guy who's cost-controlled is huge.
Oh, so that was going to be my follow-up. He is cost-controlled, because the Baseball Reference does not have his contract status for me.
He should be. I mean, to be honest, I haven't looked deep into his, but he, again, is somebody who's a rookie and has not gone through arbitration yet. So I think I would assume that, yeah, he should be with these guys for a while, and that's part of the appeal of finding a guy like that.
Talking to Alex Pavlovich, our Giants insider, NBC Sports Bay Area, Ryan Covey, Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky on the Damon Bruce Show. Pablo Sandoval, elbow inflammation. What can you tell us about Pablo? What's the prognosis?
Well, I guess it depends who you ask. I mean, the interesting thing is Pablo has been very open about, you know, just saying it's pretty bad and it's pretty concerning to him. The Giants have been a little bit more guarded and said, we hope the 10 days will heal this, but I think Pablo is concerned about what's going on in there, and we've seen this before with Matt Cain. I mean, sometimes those bone chips get in a spot where it just won't get any better, and so I think that's probably what he's concerned about. And for him, swinging left-handed is okay, so I do think ultimately he'll be able to help these guys down the stretch. But if you can't throw and you can't bat from the right side and you can't really play third base because you can't really throw without pain, that's a lot of what is done. And, you know, it would be different if this were a year ago and he was just a bat off the bench. But he's become a middle-of-the-order guy again and a starter for them a lot, and I think that's the issue for them now is that they don't know if he can necessarily do that the rest of this year, but I think we'll see him, and I think that the bat off the bench at the very least in September will be valuable.
Has Bruce Bochy become a more traditional manager since the trade deadline in the way he's handled his bullpen now that he's not as deep?
I don't know. I think it's the way he always has. I look back at that Sunday game, and that was kind of a classic. Bochy has all hands on deck, and he's going to do whatever he has to do to get through that game and figure out the rest on Tuesday. And I think we still see that, you know, we still see these newer managers are a little bit afraid of things like that, and they go by the book. And I think Bochy, for me, has really been managing pretty similar to the way he always has with that bullpen. I mean, he doesn't quite have it set up the way he had it in the past. But when he does have it set up, when he does have a lead after six innings, he has his three guys. And when it goes the other way, you know, he's just like he always was. I mean, he's going to fight for every single out in the third inning, the fourth inning, the fifth, and he'll figure out the 10th inning if he gets there. He'll figure out the next day if he gets there. And I still think that separates him from a lot of other managers.
Alex, as unlikely as a scenario it is that the Giants do, you know, get one of these wild card spots, they're going to need one of these young pitchers to step up. Beattie obviously struggling. Rodriguez is a guy, you know, last year showed some real promise. I think they had high hopes for him this year. When you have spoken to Derek Rodriguez, when he's talked about his struggles this year, has he said anything specifically, like with his delivery or anything that he's working on that was working last year and isn't working this year? What's his path for trying to fix what ails him right now, if that makes sense?
No, he hasn't really talked about that as much. I think for him, a lot of this, you know, and quite frankly, I think they just need to stick with him for a couple weeks. And the one thing he has talked about is how difficult it has been to bounce back and forth and something he's not used to and going to the bullpen, going to AAA. I think they just need to stick him in there given what's going on right now and just let him try to get on a roll because he is a guy with a lot of swagger when he's pitching well. You can see it in the body language. The way he moves on the mound, the way he walks off the mound, the way, you know, the conviction he has with his pitches, and that allows him to maybe pitch a bit above what you would think, given his stuff. So for me, if he throws well tomorrow or does anything tomorrow, I really think they need to stick with him and hope that he can get on a roll and get that confidence going, because I think it's just been a difficult year for him and just hasn't really known his role, and that's something we've talked about. I mean, that's going to be the case with young pitchers here, and then moving forward, I don't think they're ever going to, you know, baseball in general, you don't have five starters anymore. You have a bunch of guys who go back and forth and then guys who get optioned, but they to me need to just give him a look here and see if he can get on a roll again.
So Steven Duggar obviously out for the remainder of the year. It sounds like he may or may, sounds like he's likely to have surgery. Where are we at with the Steven Duggar experience? Because we came into 2018 with them basically saying, hey, he's got a chance to grab the starting center fielder spot by the horns, and he's had trouble staying on the field and trouble performing when he is on the field. Do you think he gets another shot next year, or are they leaning other directions at this point?
You know, I don't think they can go into opening day as they did this year, counting on him as their center fielder, and that just... It's just simply about the health. I mean, this is 2 years in a row where his season's been ended by a shoulder injury. And, yeah. You know, the last one was, it wasn't like he hit a wall. He hit the grass. So it was a bad fall, but it's something that I think has to be concerning to them that maybe this is something they'll stick around. But, you know, he did show, and I thought defensively he was, the metrics show he was good out there. The metrics show he was a plus. I thought he was even better maybe than what those show, and really I think that makes him a big leaguer, the defense in center field and the fact that he can move around, and the rest is going to be kind of up to him. He was making adjustments there when he got hurt, and he certainly has a ways to go at the plate still and running bases and all that, but the talent's there. He's 25 years old and he's a big league defender, and the rest I think they'll have to figure out, but I don't know that you can go into a season counting on that. I think it'll just be a nice surprise if he does figure it out next year.
He's Alex Pavlovich. He's our Giants insider for NBC Sports Bay Area, and we love and appreciate his time. Thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you, brother, okay?
Yeah, guys. Take it easy.
All right. At Pavlovich NBCS. Sure, most Giants fans are already following him, but if you're not, I mean, what are you doing? You're slipping. Well,
really? You're really slipping.
Slipping hard. Let's bring in the 5 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.